Also, when we, in Genesis 19, we see that Abraham looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, but he saw smoke, smoke that's burning in a furnace. And when we look at this world, do we see that it is going to come under judgment and that God is going to judge this world? Or do we see the Garden of Eden? Do we see that there's pleasure to be had in this world? Or do we see that there's smoke?
Just to relate what Jesse just said back to Phil's question, in Genesis 13, when it talks about Abraham being rich, it says he was rich in cattle, silver, and gold. But the riches that he acquired in Egypt were sheep, oxen, he-asses, bondmen, bondwomen, and she-asses. The richness that Abraham has in chapter 13 has nothing to do with what he got in Egypt. When we're right with the Lord, what we gain from this world means very little. And we see that Abraham understands that now. And while he's looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, he may see riches. He may see convenient. Lot will not have to dig wells when he goes to Sodom and Gomorrah because there's a river there. There's a lot of convenience by going to Sodom and Gomorrah. But when Abraham looks at it, he sees what God sees and sees, like Jesse said, the smoke rising. And if we're right with the Lord, we can see the things of this world for what they truly are.
I wonder if I can just... We've mentioned the righteous soul of Lot many times over the last couple of days. Those verses from 2 Peter chapter 2. There's several of them there, 6, 7, and 8. But just verse 8 for the moment. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I want to tie that in a little bit to verse 13 of our chapter. The Spirit of God has put this verse here, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And I wonder, and I want to put this out, at the moment, it says that Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. He isn't all the way into Sodom at this point. He's pitched his tent. It's looking towards Sodom and the cities of the plain. And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And we have from 2 Peter that Lot's soul, righteous soul, was vexed with the conversation of what was going on there. And I believe that already here, even though he wasn't in the midst of Sodom already, his soul, he still had the spiritual discernment, we would say today, to realize that there was a problem here. These men were not following the God of Abraham. And I want us to look and see, we're on a path. And it's a path of choices that Chuck has brought before us. Decision after decision. Typically, when we see one that has gone and gone off the rails, you might say, you know, when a train goes off the rails, it's going along and all of a sudden just crashes and it's off the rails. But when a believer is going off, usually there's choices, a decision. It's a path, a little thing here, and then another little thing. And Satan is just a little bit at a time, and all of a sudden, we're off the rails. And here... we find, young people, you're involved in what when you're not here at Grove City? Whether that's at home or at school. But is the Lord still speaking to you? Are you still in that place where your heart, your soul is realizing that the men of this world, the men of Sodom, the things of this world, okay, are wicked and sinners before the Lord? That which this world has to offer that is so pleasing to the flesh and satisfying to us, to God is sin. But as our conscience, is the Lord still speaking to us that this is not the path, young person? We haven't got all the way, Lot isn't all the way into Sodom quite yet. But he's on the path to get there. Are you on the path to get there? Was the Lord still speaking? Is it not too late? Time to come back to him and listen to that call. That's why I believe this verse is here for us. That's speaking to Lot, but he still continues, as we're going to see, he makes choices that are going to bring him right into the midst of Sodom.
John, I want to follow your comments with New Testament examples. We all know the name Demas. Now, young people, he's mentioned three times. The first time Demas is mentioned, he's a fellow soldier. He's a fellow laborer with Paul. The second time in Colossians, that's not mentioned. It's just Demas and his name. The third time that he's mentioned says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, there's the scriptural underlining of what John says. It's not a big step that usually takes us off. It is the small steps. It is those. But I do want to suggest to you, and I thought of this as John was speaking, and I will suggest it, that it was here in verse 12 that Lot lost his pilgrim character. He was still in a tent. You notice that. He was still in a tent, but he was dwelling in the cities. You see, he lost his pilgrim character. And then we find it says in verse 12 of the next chapter that he's changed residences. He's had a move in his life. He is in verse 12 of chapter 14. He is dwelling in Sodom. And we'll find when we look at this, what a place of danger. He lost here his whole family. They were all taken captive, and the man of faith is the one God will use to come in and rescue him. And then ultimately, there is no rescue for him. So what important things these are as we see the life of this man, that we say, Lord, help me to make a personal application to my pathway and my walk today, that I might not make the mistakes that this man made yesterday. That's why they've been put here.